Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Talking all things Niners, get into some Kings in about an hour here. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Although, Emil Fragoso, our Sacktown Sports 49ers insider, is in the building, and he's feeling like, yee! That's in Bay Area.
Just standing on business, man.
Standing on business, all right? And Emil, the Niners stood on business all day, all evening long last night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew, and I think a lot of us knew, if the Niners pushed this thing past about 25-30, I didn't see the Eagles hanging with them. No. But did you see the Niners doing this?
No, I didn't. I thought it was possible because you look at the statistics and look what the Eagles' defense is this year, 29th in pass defense and 20th overall in defense. It's really their run defense has kind of held them up on the back end. And similar to the Niners during that three-game skid, that when their secondary got exposed, it was about the rushing the passer. That was kind of the Eagles' bread and butter. It didn't really happen. And so with the Niners, once they settled in after that first quarter, they were able to expose them. Once they got the run game going, then it was kind of like, all right, it's time to get things going. They got the pass game going because of the run game. And then it just kind of a slow death for the Eagles the rest of the way there.
Yeah, and, you know, just about how things played out. Yeah. In the beginning, it felt like, I don't really know what the Niners were trying to do. I don't think they knew what they were trying to do.
No.
And then they got back to their roots a little bit, not just running the football, but something that we've seen against, we saw earlier with the Giants, right, getting the ball blitz heavy. And we saw the same thing whenever they play the Rams. Mm-hmm. We're going to neutralize Aaron Donald by just throwing the football quickly. Yeah. Is there anything, unless the Eagles get healthy, I'm looking at, okay, not that I sit there and break down film all day, but if you're the Cowboys or even, dare I say, an AFC team, what are you looking and saying, all right, if we can do this, we can beat the Niners? What is the Niners' weakness besides injury?
It's injury. It's really, you're correct, it's injury. Yeah. There is no weakness. This team is the most complete team in the NFL and has been for most of the season besides a three-game skid. Whenever they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they're the best team in football. Mm-hmm. And I said to Nate during Return of the Empire this week, I said, the Niners had to play a perfect game to win this against the Eagles because they cannot make mistakes. And they still made mistakes. They still had a bad first quarter. It didn't matter. They still lost Dre Greenlaw in the third quarter. It didn't matter. They're just the better team overall, and that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned those first quarter. I don't know if you'll say mistakes or if you'll just say slow start, but what did you really notice that kind of changed things for the Niners? Because clearly, whatever the plan was, whatever the scripted plays were for that first quarter, it seems like everything got thrown out once that second quarter went on. What did you see that just was so different from the first quarter to the rest of the game?
I tweeted out two tweets in the first quarter because I was very scared for the Niners in that first quarter. Negative 6 yards overall. I mean, just not what you want to see coming into Philadelphia and getting that Philly crowd riled up. I said, Brock Purdy doesn't look right, first of all. He didn't look right that first quarter. And then I said, is Kyle Shanahan afraid to run the football? Because how does McCaffrey get no touches on the first two drives? Yeah. I get you want to get Debo involved on that. You can't start the game with trick play run plays. You have to incorporate them after you establish the foundational, you know, outside halfback zone left that they are so great at doing behind Trent Williams with Christian McCaffrey. And once they did that in the second quarter, everything else started clicking because this Niners team, as it has been for many, many years since the Super Bowl in 2019, run first, pass second. That's their whole foundation. When the run game gets going, the rest of the team gets going.
Yeah, that's really just how it's been. We have Emil Fragoso joining us thanks to Timber Creek Golf Course, a country club atmosphere without the country club price. When your invitation reads Timber Creek Ballroom, nobody sends regrets. And Emil, we talked a little bit in the last segment about Brock Purdy being the MVP.
Yeah.
I'm of the mindset that we've seen Brock make some layered throws, some really impressive throws.
Yeah.
I know he had the wheel route to Christian McCaffrey, but all in all, I think what made yesterday so hilarious is that nothing got solved. Because if you are a Niners fan or a Brock Purdy fan or somebody that supports Brock Purdy, you could say, look at these numbers. Brock got the ball into his playmakers. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. And if you are a Brock Purdy hater, you can say, I saw a bunch of screens and slants.
Yeah.
What are we talking
about
here?
Lowest
air yards of the season. So nothing got solved yesterday. But I actually was surprised. I went out and I said, I don't think Brock Purdy's odds are going to change that much, to be completely honest with you, for the MVP. And I was dead wrong. He goes from sixth or seventh up to first. So what do you make of Brock Purdy, and where do you fall in the MVP, and I'm air quoting for those, driving MVP conversation? Because can somebody win MVP based on the NFL's definition of MVP, but not actually be the most valuable player on their team?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, for Brock Purdy. It's funny when the Rabbits got the gun, isn't it, with the Niners? It's funny when they have a quarterback that can actually throw in the game against Philadelphia. I think it's because of the emotional win for them and how much of a statement it was. It wasn't just we beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. It was we went into Philly and we did what every other team could not do, and we kicked their ass. That's what happened, is they kicked their ass. And Brock Purdy was a big part of that. I was just writing up a story right now between McCaffrey and Purdy, and I get air yards, and Debo did a lot of the work. 416 combined yards of the 456 they had between McCaffrey and Purdy. Just those two. And while he did make those throws, on that one Debo play right after Trey Greenlaw got ejected, there was a third down play, that, which I go back to, is kind of what kept that drive going before the Debo breakout on that slant. He hit Brandon Ayuk on an out route for a first down and third down. The Niners were 8 for 11 on third down this game. That's a lot of Brock Purdy. Hit Juwan Jennings on the out route. Juwan Jennings takes it to the house. Brock Purdy continues to just make the right decision, continues to make the right play. It's very similar to the processing of an elite quarterback, because that's his best trait, is processing the field and knowing where to go with the football. He didn't make a mistake. He was 148.8 passer rating. I get it. Debo did a lot of the work. A lot of their guys did a lot of the work. But you still got to deliver the football on time and accurately. And Brock Purdy did that, and that's why he's jumped up. Because at the end of the day, while it's not Jalen Hurts and the comeback story and all that stuff from Alabama and the Crimson Tide in Oklahoma, it's Brock Purdy, a guy who was the last pick in the draft. And that's a great story to root for.
Yeah, you talk about Debo Samuel, and I'm going to do the thing that I hate the most when interviewers do, but it feels appropriate here. Debo, clearly just an absolute monster, had a monster game. Talk about Debo Samuel. Just talk about Debo Samuel and what he's able to do when he's at this level. Just the mic is yours, please. Debo Samuel.
It's really funny because Debo got paid last year, right? And he had that holdout, and he wasn't the same player because he didn't get that offseason work that he had the year prior and the year, and this year as well. He had to deal with the contract situation that kind of labored Nick Bosa as well this year. He's why he had to work his way into shape. Debo came into this offseason, and he was like, I have to be a better version of myself. He told us
Man
the media,
on a mission,
He told us, he said, I sucked in every level last season.
I think we played the sounder all summer long.
He was honest as hell with us. And that never happens with the Niners. They're usually very closed-lipped. They don't do that stuff. And with Debo especially, Nick Bosa had a very long quote about Debo yesterday, and I'm going to read it off right now. I think he's the epitome of unselfishness. He's got paid, and obviously that comes with a lot of pressure to be the guy. And when you have so many dudes, you're not going to get those ops very often. But I love the fact that he can talk and set the stage and walk into a hostile environment and just thrive. That's what greatness is made of, for sure. Nick Bosa talking about Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel has 600 receiving yards this season. He doesn't have the stats to back up a Pro Bowl season. But when the game matters most, when the biggest games are on the line, and it happens against the Cowboys, happens against the Rams, when the stakes are the biggest, guys like Debo Samuel thrive, and that's what makes him such a great all-around football player.
Well, I'm not going to pull any more punches with you, Emil. We're talking to Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports, 49ers insider. Is there any way around the fact that this has got to be Super Bowl or bust for the Niners? There's no way around it.
And I was thinking about this last night, too, while I was taking a shower after I finished all the write-ups and stuff, too. Is it, all right, you got your big win. Now what? And Brock Purdy said it after the game, talking with Aaron Andrews. So did Christian McCaffrey. It's on to the next. It's on to the next week. Because they're all about 1 week at a time. They're all about being the best team. Not now, but in January.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Getting this big win is great. But now Philadelphia responds, and this might be the best thing for Philadelphia to have this ass kicking in the regular season as opposed to the playoffs, because they're going to come back hungry with the vengeance and want to play them again. Possibly in Philadelphia again if Philly doesn't let up on the standings. It's Super Bowl or bust. You have to. This is the year. There is no excuses now. This is the year with everything coming up. You're probably going to lose Juwan Jennings after this season. You got to figure out Dre Greenlay. You got to pay Tano Hufanga. You know what's going with that.
Ayuk,
you got to pay him as well. There's people that are going to have to start being let go. Eric Arms is also one of those players that might be on the block eventually. You never know. This is the year they have to get it done. They thought it was last year. They wanted it to be last year, but Brock Purdy got hurt in this game.
Right.
Now he's healthy. If they can just stay healthy, this is their biggest chance to win Super Bowl number 6.
Emil, I got to ask you, it didn't really have much to do with the game, but what were your thoughts on the big Dom Dre Greenlaw situation? Who was in the right? Who was in the wrong? Did the referees make the right move kicking them both out? Just general thoughts on that little scuffle.
It's unfortunate that had to happen. Yeah. I have many thoughts on this, and I'll just go with, because I heard your thoughts on it a little bit ago, and yes, Dre Greenlow was in the wrong to be involved in the situation. He should not have put himself in the situation to get ejected. He did make contact with a person from the sideline. I know it was a light punch or whatever it was. It was a scrape on the face. You still can't do that. You have to understand who you are and the situation you are in. Yep. At the same time, what the hell is the head of security doing so close to the sideline?
Securing the sideline.
No. There are all these people in yellow jackets around the field trying to keep fans away. Why do you need a security guard to hold back Nick Sirianni?
But I can't answer that question without knowing the setups of every other.
Yeah.
Niners don't have one of those. They don't.
Not at home either?
No.
How do you know that? You know that for a fact?
I do. I do, actually, yes. Okay. They do not have one because we would know who it is, and we don't know who it is. They got a boombox guy.
True.
They got a security guy like that.
Dom is like, they call them their cult fan favorite or whatever on the air. They were literally talking about him pregame about recommending places to eat for Greg Olsen.
That was who they were talking about, was this guy. So he's part of the team and one of their staffers, and I get that. But what is he doing so close to the field? Why is he not back at the play? Why is he inserting himself?
Is he essentially a hold me back guy?
I think that's Nick Sirianni's hold me back
guy. Is to literally hold back the sideline.
Yeah, and instead he inserted him into the play and made himself a main character in a big situation for no reason.
He definitely did. He definitely turned himself into a main character.
He didn't have to touch Dre Greenlaw. He
didn't
have to do any of that.
He didn't have to. I also didn't think there was any venom behind it.
Yeah.
Neither did I.
Right.
But if someone who wasn't another player put your hands on you during a game, you're going to be like, okay, that's
not
cool.
You're not even in here.
Drake Greenlaw is from Arkansas. He's going to stand on business. He is not one to be played with.
Yeah.
So when he sees another person put hands on him, he's going to respond like that. I understood why Drake responded like that. I don't agree with
that.
Well,
he's Drake Greenlaw. This is what he does. He's always in sticky situations.
And at the same time, the tackle on Swift was not that bad. It really wasn't.
Talking about the big hit?
No, the kind of the suplex.
The suplex.
Half whatever.
That wasn't great.
I've seen much worse from Dre Greenlaw.
Well, okay, so now.
On a curve.
Now
on
you sound
scale.
Like a Warrior fan.
I have seen
like a Warrior fan.
No, I get it. But I understood the personal foul. It was coming for Dre Greenlaw. The late hit was coming, especially after the Jalen Hurts thing earlier in that series.
As a Niners fan, I don't condone what he said, too. I'm not jumping on the Dre Greenlaw.
Dre Greenlaw here. I'm just saying that he deserved to get the penalty, not the ejection.
Sure, I didn't think either of them should be ejected, but I do agree with Chris. You had to go both or neither.
I agree with that. Yes.
Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports, 49 Sports Insider. Emil, real quick, you have, all right, 5 games left for the Niners. What's their record in these next 5 games?
This is the toughest stretch, right? Was to get out of the Dirty Bird sandwich. You still got Seattle. You still got the Ravens. You still got the Cardinals. Then you have the Commanders.
Just stand on business.
And the Rams. They're going to go 4-1.
Who's the loss to?
I think the Ravens.
Interesting. Christmas Day, right?
I don't see it, but I respect you.
They're the last kind of test for them because
the
Ravens play
right.
like the Niners. They really do. They play the Niners. They have an efficient run game. They have a quarterback that's very talented, makes the right plays most of the time, and they have a defense that kind of goes after everyone.
I know we got to let you go. I had a buddy, Niner fan, say, you know, man, and I know you, the Niner fans, when it comes to division rivals, you're always a little bit more scared. He goes, don't sleep on the Rams. They're getting healthy. I said, I'm snoozing.
I said that to you last week.
And
you got mad at me.
I got mad at him. I didn't agree. I said, dude, I'm snoozing. I'm in the snooze button like SZA.
Yeah.
All right. Got to get to a break. Yeah. Thank you, Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49 Insider. We will see you next Monday as always.
Yes,
we will talk really quick. We will be back from a break. We are talking Niners, the next step, Super Bowl or bust. Will they get it done? And what happens if they don't? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Thank you to Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49ers Insider, brought to you by Timber Creek Golf Course, country club atmosphere without the country club price. When your invitation reads Timber Creek Ballroom, nobody sends regrets. I got to get out there. I haven't golfed that one yet.
No, I haven't either, actually, and I've heard good things about the golf course. Haven't heard much about the ballroom, but it sounds great. But definitely, you know, as the weather is kind
of
starting to get really
running
really sad,
running
out of time. So I think I have one or two more Might have an 18 in me, but at least one or two more.
Oh, I got one.
Did you say weather?
Yes, mm-hmm. Did say weather. That we're talking about. Debo weather.
That's our Debo weather drop. Debo weather. There's some lightning and a deep voice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. First draft. Debo weather.
It's a little scary.
It reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah.
When you know, they don't know that the wizard is fake yet.
Yeah, just behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's what
it's like, kind of. That's actually exactly what I was going for.
Check back here.
So I think that's the final draft then.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I'm cool. Good with that.
Debo weather. All right.
Debo weather. All right.
Okay. Hmm. Glad we got that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Now we're just making Nate.
Is that what you were doing when Emil was on?
Dude, I started that last night. It was just a coincidence that you guys said Debo weather today. So I've been working on that.
Gotcha.
What, 6-7 hours?
No, it shows.
Yeah, now that you said that, it's definitely the final draft.
Yeah.
We'll just rock with that. Thank you, Nate Lemieux. Thank you for that, Nate. Super Bowl or bust. We spoke with Emil Fragoso about that. And I think it has to be. It's got to be.
Got to be.
Right? What else are you waiting for? What? If not now, then when? I mean, Tom Brady, we went back and forth with Alex Smith going back and forth. Tom Brady was more so talking about the state of the game. So I don't think he's talking about – I think it was everything in general. Right. But if you
when you're talking about his comments, you mean?
Yeah, his comments about how the game isn't – the whatever. NFL is worse. So I don't know about that in particular. But I will say, as far as the teams are concerned, this year specifically, we can go through – We know the NFC well. It's the Cowboys, who the Niners own. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, who I wouldn't say the Niners own them, but they owned them yesterday.
Yep.
And out of the times that they played them with a quarterback, it was a lot more convincing than when the Eagles beat the Niners with no quarterback. Right?
And so, the Eagles haven't been dominant all year long.
Against anybody. Yeah. Against anybody. The Niners play the Lions. That over might be about, I don't know, 200, right? It might be something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
But the Niners, I would definitely believe that the Niners can stop the Lions
enough.
They should
enough.
Be able
to, yeah. And the Lions don't have a good enough defense.
They can't stop anybody. No. So I'm not worried about the Niners. When you look at the NFC, is there anybody else in the NFC? The Seahawks are done.
I mean, maybe you can argue the Cowboys because the Niners played them so far back that the Cowboys, because if I'm not mistaken, the Cowboys had just lost Trayvon Diggs the week before, I think, and Stephon Gilmore might have gotten hurt that week or something. And maybe you could argue, you know, the Cowboys have had some time to kind of pick themselves back up and figure out who they're going to be in a you know, it seems like now they're leaning a lot more, putting more weight on the shoulders of Dak Prescott and not so much on that defense, which, you know, for the first part of the year we were talking this might be the best defense we've seen period in like a couple years. So maybe the Cowboys, but I mean, you know, you can't say that for longer than 10 seconds without somebody correctly pointing out that, like you said, Niners already own them. So realistically, no. Nobody in the NFC should be a threat for the Niners. And then, if you want to take it to the other side as well, AFC's not looking very, very scary either. Yeah, you're going to see maybe the scariest opponent right now in the AFC and the Ravens. You're going to see them in a couple weeks, so at least you'll know what you're in for. It's got to be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, it just has to be. Forget all the things that have led up to this run. You've played just about every team that's going to be a threat to you. You should know what's coming moving forward, or at least the level you need to be at, and you've already shown that you're above that level. Right. So, no, there's really no excuses if the Niners leave this season with wins, dominant wins, over the Cowboys and Eagles, and then later in the season, if they can get a win over the Ravens, you've already beaten the best competition. There's no excuses.
Right. And part of this is, you know, life is about timing. We were talking before the show about how one thing, two things could have changed, and maybe I'm not sitting across from you right here, but, you know, this is just how life happens, and we're rocking and rolling, and we're doing a lot of good things, and you have to take advantage when timing is on your side.
Yep.
We just talked about the NFC. When you look at the AFC, the Chiefs just lost to Jordan Love and the Packers, who I know Vikings guy, but the Packers, give them a couple years, you might have some action, but not this year,
no,
right?
This
that
year.
Is still a bad win, I would say, for
the
Chiefs.
By the way, refs, want to throw a PI twice?
No.
Like, are either of those, in your opinion, PIs? The Travis Kelce?
Oh,
I don't know if you saw the Travis Kelce last throw of the game.
The Travis Kelce was fine, but the MVS one was pretty bad, and MVS was probably – you know, glad that there was a PI, so he didn't have to actually try to catch the football. But it still should have been called. He's probably hoping for a PI, so I don't have to actually put my hands on the football and attempt to catch it because I'm eating too much popcorn before the games. But you have the Chiefs who, you know, I'm just saying, man.
No, you're speaking facts.
The wide receiver core for the Chiefs, I'll be nice here.
It's sad.
It adds a lot to be desired, okay? Then you have the Ravens who I would have questioned that offense anyway.
Yeah.
But you lose your security blanket and Mark Andrews. Right. So whatever about the Ravens. The Bills, honestly, you can make the argument we've been waiting for the Bills to figure it out, right? The Bills are that team. The Bills is that guy that went to high school, went to a D1, got bounced from the D1 because he couldn't make grades, got transferred to another D1, got bounced again, and then goes to a junior college. And everyone believes, hey, if you put it together, this guy could really help our program. And he ends up never helping anybody else's program because he never put it together.
Yeah,
that's the Bills. And maybe, just as I say all that, maybe, just maybe, the Bills can put it together. But that's the AFC, the vaunted AFC that everybody was worried about. That's who the AFC is now. So if you're the Niners, I don't care if it's the AFC, NFC, PFC, GFC,
KFC,
Popeyes, none of them have anything on the Niners right now. No. As long, caveat, with a capital C.
Yeah.
As long as they stay healthy
and
you have everybody. Because we saw, now, you were missing Debo and Trent Williams. That's a big, the one thing I will say when people say, well, they can make it if they're healthy, but others can't. If somebody else had a Trent Williams and a Debo
Eagles, Lane Johnson,
and lost those guys, would it look, both guys at the same time with a second-year quarterback?
Right. Nobody's
You'd be saying the same thing.
Nobody's looking good.
You'd be saying the same thing. So you still, and on top of that, you had an opportunity to kick that field goal and still beat the Browns. So then there were only been two L's throughout that stretch. So I just think, man, and you know, if you're a Niner fan, I know you've been waiting for it, but you cannot. I think that's the thing about being a Niner fan right now. You're probably excited as heck because of what's going on. But you know, you've already been to the promised land and you've already been the bridesmaid so many times, whether it be with this regime, with this era or a previous era. Right. It's hard to feel good because you just want to fast forward and hope that
Niner fans are on their Kobe stuff right now where it's like, why aren't you smiling? Job ain't finished.
No.
That's really what it is. No. It's like,
well, they were smiling last night.
Not I mean, they were. So you could smile a long way.
They were enjoying that.
You could smile a long way.
I mean, the timeline, and then we got to get to a break, and where things get stretched out a little bit, or when the reaching begins. So the Niners were up, I believe, at that point it was 21-6, and Jalen Hurts gets the tush push in.
Right.
And Niners, what I've seen is Jalen Hurts stepped over a player. Did you see this?
He did. Yes.
But did you think it was an Allen Iverson? He had to get out of there.
I mean, he was definitely doing it to try and show him up. Like, dang, like, I.
It was a little bit of swagger.
Because they had just tried to do a tush push from, like, 2 yards out and only got one. And then that 1 yard one, they got, like, 6 yards on.
So D'Amador Lenore.
He was trying to show out.
D'Amador Lenore quote tweeted it and said, this will get you scrapped or something like that.
That's an end zone celebration. At worst, like,
you want it all. Everybody wants it all.
Come on, man.
Everybody wants it all. And the Niners, you got it all. So I guess you can complain and talk about whatever. When you put up a 40 burger, when you put up 42 in Philly, the Philly 40 is what we're calling it.
That's a good one. The
Philly cheesesteak, the Philly 40, you can talk your mess. And I really just think it's got to be it for the Niners. And I think they all know that. Yep. And I don't think they've been afraid of the light so far. I think that they understand
they
that.
To it.
And they know they got to get it done. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, what is next? Are you worried about anybody besides the Ravens? Is there a sneaky team that we're sleeping on? Like my buddy says, the Rams, like Nate says, the Rams. Is there anyone that's going to give the Niners another challenge besides the Ravens before the playoffs? And don't forget, 12 o'clock, don't miss it. We start our warming up of the Kings and the Pelicans. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
We'll be right back. Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we get ready for Kings Pellies. Do they call them the Pellies? Anyone call them the Pellies?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, as I've always said,
it's not very intimidating.
I've always said, I just can't see, and I'm not trying to jinx the Pelicans here, but jinx the Kings here, I should say. I'm just not, you're just not going to be able to convince me that you're going to win an NBA championship in an arena called the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, especially not when your team name is the Pelicans.
When you close your eyes and you imagine, we do this all the time, right? What you can imagine, just imagine Mike Breen or whoever,
and your NBA champion
Pelicans from the Smoothie King Center.
Doesn't quite hit.
I just can't
see it. It's
not
it, Chief.
You got to change it.
Gonna have to change them both.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
Oh, you're not with the Pelicans,
huh? No, not with the Pelicans.
This kind of takes us down a dark road of, I guess, best versus
worst nicknames.
Mascot,
yeah.
Right? Our Pelicans.
Pelicans are definitely bottom tier.
Do we have any on the listening YouTube chat or in the car? Do we know, are Pelicans ferocious?
I think they can be. Like, I'm pretty sure they, like, they'll peck at you if they think you have some food or something. But in terms of, like, you know, average Pelican deaths per year, or how many people
I got Pelicans, injured due to a Pelican. I had a Pelican injury.
I would imagine it's got to be under 5. Maybe, probably under 10.
Serious injury. Yeah.
I mean, serious injury, it shouldn't be anybody.
Right.
That should be like a once in a decade.
Because, you know, people will say, oh, a hippo, for example. Right. A hippo would be in that category of, hey, hippos don't seem to be too ferocious, but hippos can get after it.
Yeah.
Hippos will mess you up. So I don't know, but hopefully the Pelicans aren't too ferocious tonight as they were in New Orleans when they took care of business against the Kings multiple times. And the Kings looked better the second time around. Again, no Keegan. They looked better the second time around. The first time they got destroyed, the Pelicans, C.J. McCollum has returned. I was talking to Carmichael Dave a couple days ago, I think on Friday, about C.J. McCollum, or actually Kyle Draper, about C.J. McCollum, his ability to hit the three-pointer. He always felt like a mid-range master to me, but I think it was just kind of really, he's been around for a while, the state of the game, having Dame, so he can shoot that thing. And and I think that team in particular has a lot of confidence. The Kings right now favored by 3.5, so that's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, just how the Pelicans matched up with this Kings team last time was concerning. Like, look, heading into this game, I still am very much concerned that the Kings don't have bodies to throw at Zion or Brandon Ingram. You suspect that Keegan will be able to give it a go tonight, so maybe that'll be a different look that we can give them. But to me, I mean, it comes down to what it seemingly came down to all season long, and can the Kings hit their shots? Because we saw them, they shot 48% again against the Nuggets the other night. It's the thing we keep talking about. We mentioned earlier, are they one-dimensional? It doesn't seem like it, but it sure seems like if the Kings aren't hitting their threes, it's pretty much impossible for them to win. So as much as it is the Pelicans deciding, you know, with Zion and Brandon Ingram, how the game goes, the Kings can also have their say in it by showing up, because it does kind of feel like those two games that they played in New Orleans, the real Kings just didn't show up. So it would be interesting to see kind of how the battle really unfolds if B.I. and Zion are able to get their thing going while the Kings are able to still shoot. That's like the I'd love to see these two teams at their best is essentially where I'm getting.
So due to injury, you have Trey Murphy III and Jordan Hawkins, who haven't played a lot together. So the first time they played together, December 1st, Trey Murphy was interviewed. And he had this to say, because, you know, Jordan Hawkins can shoot, Trey Murphy can shoot, and we're talking about three-pointers here.
Right.
And Trey Murphy says, and this had Warrior fans also up in arms. I think a lot of fans just, okay, a little eyebrow raise, and you got to have confidence. We talk a lot on this show about realistic confidence and being self-aware versus just talking at the side of your neck. Trey Murphy says, there's probably maybe one other duo that can probably shoot better than me and Hawk. and I'll still have to have an argument with that. That is Trey Murphy III on playing with Pelicans rookie Jordan Hawkins for the first time tonight. That was on December 1st.
I'll just say it's a little early probably to proclaim some of that. I know we all gave Mark Jackson crap for being early on Steph and Clay being the best back shooting backcourt of all time. But I think I can confidently say that Trey is a little bit off base here. You know, both are fantastic shooters. Jordan Hawkins has been more so, at least so far, like a volume shooter more than a straight knockdown shooter. But yeah, I mean, those are also – his point is semi-legitimate in the sense of that is the Pelicans' version of Keegan and Kevin Huerter. That's what they do for them. So in the same sense of if you just want to try and piece for piece – Zion and B.I. are clearly the Sabonis and Fox, but Jordan Hawkins and I mean, Trey Murphy just entered the lineup, but the other guys, Herb Jones as well, they need those guys to hit perimeter jump shots because it's Zion we've seen. He can quite literally score whenever he wants. He's gone 11 for 11 or whatever, 11 for 12 in games before. It's those other guys throwing on the supplemental points that really is the thing that ends up breaking your back. We saw that. We almost saw that with the Nuggets the other day. Jokic able to get his, but it's when you let some of those other guys get going where you get yourself in trouble. King's got to slow down the other guy. To me, that's been really the biggest thing. I feel like that's been a commonality these past couple games, these last string of games, is the big guys are going to get theirs. Mm-hmm. But it's making sure that the Trey Murphys of the world, the Jordan Hawkins of the world, they don't score above what they normally do. That's how you get killed, and that's something that really the Kings have actually been pretty decent at. There's been some hits and misses, but I think for the most part they've actually done a good job of not having random guys have career nights without your Skylar Mazes of the world.
Man, what a time to be alive.
You know, the Wiggins
then,
and Clay of the world and things like that. There's a couple instances where, but for the most part, the Kings have done a good job of slowing everybody else down.
Yeah, well, look, their defense has just been better as a whole.
Right.
And I think that
that's a great point.
That's part of it. You can't just key in on certain guys and give other guys open looks. So, you know, looking at the Pelicans, the issue is, I mean, we can do this game. And don't forget, we have a double dog segment. Ooh. Because we got to do it from when they played on Saturday, the Nuggets and the Kings played. And then we have our dog segment for tonight's game. And we talk about who's going to be able to do what, who's going to ball out. What's the over-under? And this will basically tell you if you think the Kings are going to win or not. The over-under on Zion left-handed layups. I'm going to set the over-under for Zion left-handed layups. Let's see. I'm trying to be respectful here.
I've got a number in mind.
Okay. We'll go with your number.
I was going to say either 9 or 8.5. Either 8.5 or 9.5.
9.5.
Yeah.
9.5. We are setting the line for Zion left-handed layups.
Let me see what he averages just in terms of points or like field goal makes per game.
I was thinking the line would be more 6.5, so I'm taking the under by that logic.
Let's see here.
So you think the Kings are going to win?
So, okay, maybe we should lower.
It
we'll say
it's based on that.
It is.
Yeah. We'll put it at 8 because he averages 9 made field goals per game. 9.2 made field goals per game. Mm-hmm. Something tells me that, yeah, probably 8 of those. 7.5 to 8. 7.5 to 8, I would say, of those are probably left-handed layups.
I would just line up 3 guys and angle them.
Yeah.
So that you, from the corner of the free throw line, the left side of the free throw line, so that Zion, you shall not pass. You can't get to the lane.
That's kind of what the Kings did in that second game, and that's what guys like Stan Van Gundy kind of made popular going against Giannis is build the effing wall. That's what he said. There was audio Stan Van Gundy in the huddle saying, look, just like you laid out, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, and you build a wall.
Yeah.
And you do not let him – the only way he can get by that wall is by going through that wall, and we're going to hope that we get some charges along the way. You're going to have to sacrifice your body, but that's the most efficient way of slowing down Zion. That's really, if you're just going to game plan and try and sell out for him, if he's just absolutely killing you, that's the way to do it. Just say, you can go right. I don't really, I do care, but that's better than you going to your strong hand. I'm not going to allow you to just get all of your points in the paint. And that's what makes Zion so incredibly difficult to guard.
Yeah, and, you know, we could talk about Zion, and everybody has that same game plan. We all know he's left-handed. There's no surprise there.
Yep.
Very similar to, you know, Debo isn't going to run a double move or anything like that. But Debo still balls out because you still got to actually stop him.
Yeah.
One thing, having Keegan, I think, is huge. And I know that Brandon Ingram has that length. He's got that length over almost anybody. Yeah. We used to call him Mini Durant back in the day before four other Mini Durants joined the league. So, but having Keegan, I think, could slow him down a little bit as well when you didn't have him in New Orleans. But, yeah,
you can maybe throw Trey on him, too.
You can throw Trey on him, too, because you have more versatility.
Yeah.
And just you're just praying against Zion, and you're building that wall.
Yeah.
And you're just, hey, you can break through if you want and keep it, like we said, 8 left-handed layups. If he gets over 9, you better pray that Brandon Ingram had an off game.
Right. That's really the hope, because that's what's killed the Kings, too, is they haven't – it's both of them. They haven't been able to slow either of those two guys down. And then that's not even adding the fact that the Kings haven't played them without C.J. McCollum as well.
That's true.
Isn't like – you know, he's not –
so who's on C.J.?
They're number one, but
Fox,
yeah, definitely. That's the problem is, again, when you're talking about slowing down the other guys, you can't have – you can't have CJ, Ingram, and Zion combined for 60 points.
No.
Like, that's going to be a tough night. If those three score 20, that's going to be really hard. I mean, the Kings' offense is more than capable.
You better not miss, I was going
to
say.
Keeping, but exactly like that. Like, the Kings have to be on if that's going to be the case. So, the easiest way of winning these games is starting to play defense. It's the reason why Mike Brown has been so adamant about it. At some point, yeah, everybody's got scores. You're going to have to slow somebody down. And that's, you know, the Pelicans are saying the same thing about the Kings, though. They're saying De'Aaron Fox, that's a 30-point-per-game scorer. But you can't forget about Keegan Murray. You can't forget about Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
It's on both sides. But the Kings, they got to try. And I mean, I think the Kings are a better team than the Pelicans. I
think it's close.
I think the Kings, I would like to see, now, of course, this is not the same emotion, but I would love to see the Kings do much like the Niners and have a little bit of edge to them and say, this team has just punked us twice.
That's true.
We're better than these guys.
Yeah.
Let's go out and just show it.
Right.
Like, just go let your game do the
talking.
You're
at our house now. No more smoothies. Okay.
No more smoothies.
They might do the Jamba
Pelican
Juice.
Mascots.
Right. They might do the Jamba Juice thing in arena, but no more smoothies. And look, got to get to a break, but come on now. Let's be honest here. This is not, and I don't want to say this, and then he goes off tonight. But Trey Murphy, come on now.
Come on
Trey
now.
Murphy,
come on.
Jordan Hawkins. Can we get, this is what we're talking about with this younger generation.
Yep.
Now I got to go get off my lawn. Trey Murphy, really, really, there's probably, again, if you're just joining, thanks for joining. There's probably maybe, this is Troy Murphy again. There's probably maybe one other duo that can probably shoot better than me and Hawk, and I'll still have to have an argument about that. Trey.
I thought he was at least going to throw B.I. in there.
No, right. You're going to have an argument with a wall. Come on now. I hope I don't eat those words later. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're tying a bow on the Niner conversation. Are there any trap games you see to end the season? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And you know what happens when you play the Niners? I think they had the Niners, it was last season, had that crazy record where teams after playing the Niners went on to lose the next game. They had a terrible record because the Niners just beat them up.
Yeah,
and the Niners,
they had only had one opponent win the week after playing them.
Yeah, you're going to leave with some bruises.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was a Debo-heavy game. So this is from Ian Rappaport 6 minutes ago. Sources, the Eagles and former Colts All-Pro linebacker Shaq Leonard have agreed to terms on a 1-year deal after he took a visit to Philly last week, a potential big addition for the stretch run. It's interesting, right? How is Shaq Leonard in coverage? Because the issue is you can't stop the coverage. All right, so we're gonna see. Leonard also visited the Cowboys, but Philly was always the preferred spot.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Little bit of not really. I was gonna try and say like KD going to the Warriors energy, but. Not quite. I mean, it's more just like, oh, they lose, and so it's okay to join this great team.
Right.
But really, this is nothing more than just like in the NBA. It's like the, what do they call those? The when guys get cut at like the trade deadline and then they end up signing, much like that, where it's like, you know, a little bit of ring chasing and you're a vet and it's like, oh, you know, I got cut by this bad team.
Right.
Let me go Anderson Varejao this and sign with the Warriors second half of the season.
Those rings shine just as bright. And when you show up in the pre and post or whatever you're doing, guess what it says?
Yep.
NBA champion Anderson Varejao or whoever it is. So we'll see what they're going to do. The Eagles are kind of going back to basics. And that's the thing. The Eagles don't get to play the Niners and now play, even though they had, I was going to say the Commanders. They had trouble with the Commanders.
Yeah, they did.
The Eagles don't get to play the Niners and now go play the Panthers. They got the Cowboys coming to town. And the Cowboys have a gear to grind with the Eagles as well.
If I'm not mistaken, too, I was taking a look at the NFL standings. And I know sometimes it can get a little bit wonky. But if I'm not mistaken, this is a really big game for the Eagles as well when it comes to being the number one seed.
Oh, it's huge. It's
because
huge.
The Niners now own the tiebreaker over the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Exactly.
So if the Eagles beat, I'm sorry, if the Cowboys beat the Eagles this week and the Niners win this week, those are 3-10-3 teams.
And
the Niners would have the advantage as the one seed. I don't know how it ends up playing out with them in the Lions, but that's a really – you go from Eagles, if they win that game last week, to pretty much clinching number one seed to now this week becomes almost a bigger game than last week for Philadelphia. So, I don't know. This could be a situation where, you know, we just rattled off the record of teams after playing the Niners the following week. It's – I don't know. Like, the Eagles kind of go from being really comfortable to possibly being like the 4 seed in the NFC in a week.
It's crazy. And look, when you have to, when you go to a, it's going to sound so silly, but when you go to a Super Bowl, man, and I know Jalen played well and he had the fumble.
Played great.
It is so hard to go back. Yeah. I mean, that's why I think it's been so confusing and frustrating for the Niners because they've been able to go back fairly often.
Right. And that's almost more difficult than just winning one.
Exactly.
Is to be in the position year after year after year.
Exactly. So now you have an Eagles team with a tough schedule and they have to go back to the drawing board because exactly what you said. The Eagles now, they have to basically win out.
They have to pick themselves.
Unless they believe that the Niners are going to drop a game, and that's kind of what we wanted to get into as well as far as a trap game because the Eagles – if they lose, we know that the Niners have the tiebreaker.
Yep.
And they already have the tiebreaker against the Cowboys.
Yep.
So if the Niners win out and the Eagles lose next week, it's coming through Santa Clara.
Yes, it is.
It's that simple.
Yep.
It's that simple. So now if you're an Eagles fan, you are looking at the Niners schedule and you're praying that maybe a divisional opponent, maybe Geno, they wrote me off, didn't write back. They starting to look good again. Maybe
don't
this,
get your hopes up against
I
the
don't.
Maybe
don't.
Kyler, you know, who knows?
Well, they maybe Kyler, week, you know? Maybe Kyler in Arizona, you get a chance to play spoiler, you know, because these are the two letdown games, right? Seahawks and then Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Those are the two possibilities of a letdown game looking forward to the Ravens on Christmas. They get past the Ravens. If they head into the Ravens 2-0, the Niners are going undefeated, and I would guarantee that the Eagles probably lost another game, and it's coming through Santa Clara. That'd be my bet.
That's where it seems like it's headed right now because, like you said, I mean, if the Niners can get through the mental – it feels like it would be more mental of a reason to not be able to beat the Seahawks and the Cardinals – after you beat the Ravens, I feel like at that point your eyes are set. You're not losing focus of what's important. You're not going to just drop a game to the Commanders. You're deaf. I don't care what your friend says, Nate. I love you. I don't care what Nate says. That Week 18 matchup against the Rams, that's not going the Rams' way. So if you get through that Ravens game, I you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx the Niners. I'm not trying to, but it feels like at that point, you're going to understand what the focus needs to be, and you're probably not going to drop a game against the Commanders or the Rams. So, it feels like they just got to get through these next couple weeks. Maybe the Eagles pick up a loss or two, and this thing just rolls through Santa Clara, and at that point, good luck, because the Niners are going to, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, we were concerned about the weather. don't have to worry about that, at least to the extreme of what it might be in Philadelphia. Right. Of course, you might experience some rain. You might experience some really bad wind in Santa Clara, but you're not going to get snow or, you know, issues. You might get a pretty bad monsoon, but of course, that's neither here nor there. The point is you're not going to get extreme weather.
Yeah. And, you know, just real quick on the whole weather thing.
Yeah.
And I would—
Debo weather. Come on, Nate.
Oh, Nate, here
we go. Come on, Nate. You had your chance.
Here we go.
Debo weather.
I can't get over that.
About the Debo weather.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of back in the day. You know when we all, I don't want to say we all, but we all were a rapper at some point. And I would hop on GarageBand and you're going through the different sounds and voices on GarageBand.
Oh, yeah.
That voice was on GarageBand. Yes. That was somewhere on GarageBand.
That's like, that's robots.
Debo weather.
It's scary. I'm scared.
It is kind
back
of
here.
Scary.
It gets colder in here when you play that.
It really does. Yeah, I had to put on a sweatshirt.
Yeah. Debo weather.
I don't hear the lightning, but I can feel it. I can feel it.
But as far as the weather goes, I saw so many reports, and this is I am not being disrespectful to any, you know, job or career.
It's a good way to start.
I just don't understand how you're ever— what are the metrics of success for being a meteorologist?
Probably, I don't know, percentage of being right about the weather.
I think it's almost like you're a scout, right? And you're just trying, I think this person's going to be good. All the signs are saying it's going to rain. I saw reports of 90% chance of rain in Philly. I don't know.
Did it rain at all? Like, at all during the game? Like, even in pregame?
Not during. So I was checking a couple days before up to the game, and the rain was going to start end before. It was going to be all before. And I don't even think I saw rain. Like, all those videos of Debo and the black Air Forces or Jordans.
Yeah.
No rain there. Didn't see anything, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And rain before is still awful.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
No, it's not. But I get, you know, you go in, okay, I think it's going to—
you're almost game planning a specific way.
Well, I think I'm going to do this. But. You know, I'm here. I'm doing my meteorologist thing.
Yep.
And then I was completely wrong. Hey, well, that's the weather.
Hey, see you on Monday.
It's just, you know, it's a educated science or educated guess. But anything can happen because it's the weather. It might be one of the best jobs, right?
I think so. Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, also, like, how much digging are you doing for the information that, like, isn't most of that information just given?
Well,
like, isn't it, what's different than me going on weatherchannel.com and then just reciting it?
You don't have
air.
The screen. Well, you know, now you're reminding me, we got to get to a break. It was reminding me of, have you seen people roasting DJs these days and how people will be pretending they're up there like
and they just hit play
and maybe they made the mix prior, but they're acting like they're mixing the song, and then you look down and somebody's got a camera and they're actually not pressing any buttons that's plugged
DJ
in.
DJ Diesel. Shout out Shaq.
Right? Everyone can Shaq's be a DJ. I'm just saying, and maybe if you're a meteorologist, you can call in and just take us through, because it just feels like you can do all your work and then be wrong and say, it's the weather.
That's a great call to arms. Any weather person listening right now, call in.
Call in.
Let us know.
We want to know.
Please.
Please let us know, because I'm curious. We deal with, me and Chris, we deal with ratings, right?
Yeah.
Salespeople deal with sales, right? You have to be right. You have to be correct. You have to.
What's the barometer of success? What makes you a good weather person and person from Channel X not a good weather person?
Yeah, right. Oh, we crushed
that.
Is
it just delivery?
We were
Is
both
it personality?
Wrong. We were both wrong, but we crushed
that.
Yeah. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are beginning our Kings conversation as we prepare for the in-season tournament knockout round, taking on the Pelicans. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.